So I didn't have time to shave. Actually, no, the reality is that the beard's just there to make me look older, and hopefully you'll be more likely to listen to me. Let me pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it brings. Thank you that we can know you through it. Father, I pray that as we continue to look at it tonight, that you will be speaking to us through your Spirit. Amen. In the Christian life, we have two focuses. We look back at what's been done for us. I'm going to move this back. We look back at what's been done for us, and we look forward to what will happen in the future. And we need to keep these two focuses. If we stop looking back at what's been done for us, we lose the gospel, we lose Jesus. If we stop looking forward to what's coming in the future, we lose hope. We need to keep these two focuses. Now, Jamie just talked about being thankful. And being thankful is, in a large part, it's about looking back at what has been done for us. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to look forward, and I'm going to talk about the end. Now, Jamie and Kat and I leaving at the end of the year, it's a new beginning. It's a new beginning for us and for you. For Kat and I, we're going to Cherrybrook. We'll have new ministries, new people to look after there, new people to serve there. For Jamie, he's going to Moore College, and he's going to another church to be a student minister. Again, new beginning, new opportunities to serve. You'll obviously continue ministry here, and you'll have new people come in and help you to do that. But it's also an end. Of course, we'll still keep up friendships. We'll still come and visit when we can. But the reality is that we just won't see each other much anymore. It's the end of our time here serving you guys. It's the end of our time being at church services on Sundays. It's the end of our time being a part of the young adults group. It's the end of us leading at Logos and Fireplace. And being an ending, it gives us an opportunity to stop and to think about endings. See, everything that we know will end eventually. Jobs. Our jobs will end. Our cars will break down and fall apart. Phones, school, houses, friendships, and even life itself will come to an end. Peter, the writer of 1 Peter, funnily enough, he knows this. And so as he writes to Christians around the world, he says this in chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "The end of all things is near." As Christians, we look forward to the day when Jesus returns. This heaven and earth will pass away and everything that we know will end. And Peter says, "The end of all things is near." If you knew that your life was going to end in a week, how would you change? What would you do differently? I'd be willing to bet that everybody here tonight would change their lives if they knew they were going to die in a week. See, knowing that something's going to end changes the way that we live. It changes the way that we live. So, if we truly believe that the end of all things is near, how will that change the way we live? How will that change the way we act? Well, firstly, Peter says, "Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray." Prayer is often something that we think is easy, or we think it should be easy. And for some people it is. For some people praying is easy. But in my experience, for most people, prayer is hard. It's hard to sit down and pray. It's hard to make time for it. It's hard to take time to pray more deeply than when you're lying in bed going to sleep at night. It takes a clear mind and a self-control to pray. And prayer is incredibly important. Why? Well, one, because it's how God's chosen to act in the world. We could say that God will do what he wants, whether or not we pray for it. God's going to do what he wants. And that's true. But the way that God has ordained, the way that God has set up for this world to work, is for him to do his will through us praying. The way that God's ordained the world to work is for him to do things when we pray for them. And not only that, though, I think more importantly, prayer reminds us that we depend on God for everything. When we pray, we give God glory because we recognize that He's the one in control. He's the one who's providing for us. Prayer reminds us that we depend on God for everything. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Next, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. We here tonight are sinful people. We all know that. We mess up, we sin against each other all the time. And Peter says, love covers over a multitude of sins. And that doesn't mean that if you love someone, that your sins will be wiped clean. What it means is if you love someone, you will cover their sins against you. You won't keep a record of their sins against you. You'll forgive them. That's exactly what God does with our sins. He covered our sins through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. That's God's love covering our sins. And so we cover each other's sins. Paul says in Galatians 5:14, he says the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you love one another, you fulfill every law that there is in the Bible. If you love someone, you won't steal from them. You won't murder them. You won't commit adultery with them. If you love someone, you won't gossip about them. You'll build them up with what you say. Love is the fulfillment of the entire law. God has loved us and has covered over our sins. So above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Friends, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Hospitality here doesn't just mean having your friends over for dinner, although it probably includes that. It doesn't just mean having visitors at church over for dinner, although it probably includes that. It doesn't just mean providing meals for those that need it, although it probably includes that. Hospitality is loving the people around you by sharing your home and your life with them, providing for their needs. It's a hard word to describe, but you know a hospitable person when you see them. They're the kind of person that you go to their house and you feel at home. You know that you're always welcome there. They're the kind of people that you could go to their house for breakfast. They don't necessarily put on fancy meals for you, although they might to make you feel special. They're the kind of people that include you in their life, that let you see their house when it's clean and when it's messy. They're the kind of people that say, come in, this is me, this is my life, this is my home. Let me share this with you. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one of you has received gifts from God, things that you're good at. These could be things like cooking, or sport, or reading. It could be a position in life that He's put you in, like being single, or being married, or being at uni, or working from home. Each of these is a gift from God. Use these gifts to serve others. If you're good at cooking, cook meals for others. Go on the supper roster. Offer to be on there more than once a month. Use your gift to serve others. If you're good at reading, offer to read the Bible at church. Read the Bible with your friends. Read it one-on-one. Read it in Bible studies. Use your gift to serve others. There's no pride in admitting that you're good at something and using it to serve others. If you're single, you probably have more time than your married friends. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. And I say this knowing that some of you who are married have more time than your single friends. But as a general rule, I think this is true. Use your gift to serve others. If you're working at home or if you are at uni, you probably have more time or more flexible time. You could spend half an hour on a Wednesday morning teaching scripture in our primary schools. Use your gift to serve others. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. Here Peter splits the two ways which we can do God's work. We speak and we serve. If we speak, we should speak as if we're speaking the very words of God. What he's saying here is that our speaking should be modeled on the Bible. When we speak, people should hear the same things they hear in the Bible. The same thoughts, the same attitudes, the same ideas. We should be so entrenched in the Word of God that it shapes everything that we say. When we serve, we should do it with the strength that God provides. We need to recognize the fact that the fact that we're able to do anything good at all is because of God. He gave us the strength to serve, and ultimately, he's the one doing the work. And why should we speak as if we're speaking the words of God? Why should we serve in the strength that God provides? So that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So that in all things, God may be praised. If we serve in our own strength, we have something to boast about. If we speak our own words, our own ideas, our own thoughts, we have something to boast about. But if our ideas and our thoughts and our words are shaped by God's word and directed by God's word, then he gets all the praise. If, as we serve, we remember and acknowledge that God gave us the ability to do that and the power and the strength to do that, God gets the praise. And ultimately, that's what we're about. That's our aim, our goal, our focus in everything that we do. When we're being clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray, we're doing it so that God might be praised. When we're loving each other deeply, we're doing it so that God might be praised. When we're offering hospitality to one another, we do it so that God might be praised. When we use our gifts to serve others, we use our gifts so that God might be praised. When we speak and when we speak and serve so that God might be praised. When you serve others, is God getting the praise? When others serve you, is God getting the praise? When people speak to you about God, when you listen to sermons, when you're in a Bible study, when you're speaking about the Bible, when you're reading the Bible with someone else, who gets the praise? The person speaking or God? The end of all things is near. Jesus is coming back soon. When he returns, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The relationships we've built here, the friendships we have, these will be eternal relationships. We'll see each other in the new heaven and the new earth, where we'll spend an eternity giving God praise and glory. So friends, whatever you do in life, wherever you go, whoever you serve, whoever you listen to, whoever you speak to, whatever you do in life, do it in such a way that God gets the praise. Do it in such a way that God gets the glory. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to praise you. We want to give you glory for your love for us, that you sent your Son to die for us. We want to give you praise and glory that you work in each of our lives. We want to give you praise and glory that we have a sure and certain hope of heaven in the future. And we pray that we might recognize this more and more. We might use our gifts to serve others. We might love each other deeply. We might offer hospitality to one another. And I pray that we might do this in such a way that you get the glory. Amen.